The crowds got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We strive and search for many things in life, but the most important thing we need is that which Jesus alone can give. Jesus says, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." They got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. The search continues. The question is, however, where do we find Jesus today in 2015? Well, we find Jesus where he chooses to be found. Just because Jesus is omnipresent doesn't mean he can be found anywhere or any way we might want to find him. I recall a shut-in communion visit I had with an elderly lady. As we were talking, I asked her, "So where do you go to find Jesus?" She paused thoughtfully and then responded, "I find Jesus in my Bible. Oh, and in my catechism," she added, "and in my hymn book." And then she looked at me and said, "Am I right, Pastor?" Well, I smiled and said, "You are absolutely right. These are the books. These are the books that are used in teaching and preaching and worship, where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, and as he finishes it, there I am among you." In contrast to this dear lady, many people spend their lives looking for Jesus in the wrong places or the wrong ways. In his book, The Search for the Historical Jesus, Albert Schweitzer attempted to get beneath all the myths invented about Jesus by his primitive early followers. He wanted to find out who Jesus really was. And this led Schweitzer to conclude about his search. "The historical investigation of the life of Jesus did not take its rise from a purely historical interest. It turned to the Jesus of history as an ally in the struggle against the tyranny of dogma. This dogma had first to be shattered before men could once more go on the quest of the historical Jesus. That historical Jesus is something different from the Jesus of the doctrine of the two natures that seems to us now as self-evident. The truth is, it is not Jesus as historically known, but Jesus as spiritually arisen within men who is significant for our time and can help it. The abiding and eternal in Jesus is absolutely independent of historical knowledge and can only be understood by contact with his spirit, which is still at work in the world today." This is the way our world thinks. But attempts to spiritualize Christ and Christianity, though it sounds very intellectual, very reasonable, sincere, even pious, is misguided. And in the end, it robs one of the real Jesus, the real truth, the real forgiveness of sins, real comfort, and real eternal life. Since the 18th century, men like Boltmann and Caseman and Schweitzer and others have searched for the so-called historic Jesus, so it comes as no surprise to us that they succeeded. They succeeded in finding the Jesus that they set out to find. The Jesus they wanted to find, but it was not the true Jesus. We see a similar search in some respects in the Gospel, chapter 6, John 6. It begins with 5,000 searching for Jesus. The kind of Messiah they wanted one was the kind who provides free picnics by the seashore. But chapter 6 ends with Jesus alone. Well, alone with his 12 disciples, and he asks them, "Do you want to go away as well?" Peter replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? you have the words of eternal life. But eventually they do go away. They betray, deny, abandon him, and we're left only with Jesus. But this is a good place to be. This is where it always begins and always ends, with Jesus. Because it is, after all, Jesus who does the real searching. He's the one who came to search for, to seek, and to save the lost, and that's us. And our seeking, all of our seeking, is always misguided, but not so for the Good Shepherd, because he knows us, and he knows what we really need. And he tells us, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Down from heaven. This Jesus is the one who came down from heaven. He's true God. And yet he has become flesh, true man. Every time we confess the Nicene Creed, we confess this Jesus, this real, divine, historic Jesus. We confess this Jesus with Christians who have confessed the same Nicene Creed or Apostles' Creed throughout the centuries. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, who for us men in our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. It's interesting, but you have a pagan governor. And his name is spoken in his holy place in both creeds every time we gather for the Lord's Supper. This pagan governor is mentioned every time Lutherans all and Christians all over the world gather for the Lord's Supper. Jesus was a real person. He lived in real history. To confess Pontius Pilate is to reject the lie that Christianity was merely a myth or a fairy tale. And on the third day, he rose again according to the scripture and ascended into heaven. Jesus' resurrection was not merely a spiritual rising in the hearts of men. He truly rose from the grave on that historic Easter morning. His historic death and resurrection atoned for our sins. And these are real sins, historic sins we commit in history. His ascension was a real ascension at which the God-man Jesus Christ was enthroned at the right hand of God the Father, from where to this very day he's praying. That's what he does. He prays and he cares for his beloved bride, church. So where do we go to find Jesus? The crowds in Galilee went searching for Jesus in Capernaum, in the synagogue, the place of worship. We come to places like this, like Cramer Chapel. My shut-in was right, the Bible, the catechism, and the hymnal. The Bible can and should be read alone by individuals, but it's never been a personal book promoting a private religion. It is the book for the church at worship, and it's accompanied by preaching and prayer and singing and thanksgiving. That's what surrounds this book. The catechism. The catechism prepares and leads to holy baptism, where Jesus is found with his gifts. And baptism leads to holy communion, where Jesus is found giving out his gifts. And the hymnal. This is our book of worship, sitting in its racks now, just pages stitched together, kind of quietly under the pews, but you'll be grabbing it in a few minutes. And when you do, that silent book comes alive. It comes alive when we gather to listen, to confess, to sing, to pray, and to eat a meal unlike any other, a meal in which Jesus feeds us his flesh and blood, the bread of life that satisfies us truly forever. You want to find Jesus? Well, there's lots and lots of Jesus in that hymn book, in the liturgy, and in the hymnody of the Lord's Church. We strive and search for many things in life, but the most important thing is that which Jesus alone can give. At his altar, he gives us himself. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.